Welcome to the Housetop Podcast, the teaching arm of Oikos Ministries. Jesus said, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." Join our host, Terrell Hebert, as he teaches God's Word.
Hello, Facebook. We're a little bit early this evening. It's a Wednesday night. It's about 4 or 5 minutes to six, and I just got excited and want to talk. So here we go. All the gang's here. Got a nice little rain shower outside, so all is good and all is well. We've been going through my book, The Doctrines of Christ, based on Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, and six subjects: repentance from dead works, faith toward God, baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. So we're going through each of these, and we've been going through baptism, in particular, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, most of my book, the largest section of our book, is based on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so I spent a lot of time dealing with the person of the Holy Spirit, who He is. And instead of just jumping to the gifts, really dealing with the idea that this is God we're dealing with, God, the Holy Spirit, third person, the triune nature of God. And I wanted to drive that point on, that we are dealing with God Himself, and that God's coming to live inside of us in the New Testament. And this is nothing to joke around with. And I feel I have to say stuff like that because the charismatic movement became so silly with so much of this, and it became a circus type atmosphere. And it's really a grievous thing to see that happen when people start calling themselves Holy Ghost bartenders and laughing like hyenas and barking like dogs and roaring like lions and clucking like chickens. I'm not even joking. So this is just bizarre behavior, and they're calling it manifestations, which, look, I am all about seeing the manifestations of the Spirit, but let's be in keeping with what the Bible did and what He said. And we're going to go into that in just a minute. So if you've missed any of these teachings and would like to go back and catch up on it, I would just encourage you to visit our website at www.housechurchesusa.com. You can go and catch up on these teachings or many, many more. As a matter of fact, I just posted one from our last Sunday's corporate service, a fairly short message, about 30 minutes long, called The More Excellent Way. I'd really encourage you, maybe listen to that on Spotify or one of your favorite ways to do podcasts, and enjoy a good ride to work and get full of the Word of God. And so, without further ado, let's get into it. We're dealing tonight. Now, we have gone through several aspects of the person of the Holy Spirit. We started, number one, with the promise of the Spirit, where the Holy Spirit was promised from the Old Testament. Number two, we started dealing with the person of the Spirit. We went into deep issues about who the Holy Spirit is based on John 13 all the way through 15. And then we dealt with the proof of the Holy Spirit. Proof. And then the produce of the Spirit. Our proof was speaking in tongues, and then produce, the fruit of the Spirit. And tonight we're going to deal with the power of the Spirit. Now, normally most people want to jump right to the power, but I felt like we needed to establish a whole lot of foundational principles about our relationship with the Holy Spirit and His with us before we jumped into the power issues. And maybe we could build enough character in ourselves that as God visits us again with these gifts, as we stir these gifts up in our generation, that maybe we'll have the character to handle them and bring God some great glory in this. So I want to visit two passages of Scripture to start us off. The first one's a very familiar one in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Of course, Jesus has risen from the dead, and He told His disciples to meet Him on a mountain appointed in Galilee. Most people think it was Galilee, and this is where most people believe He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. And He said the famous quote, He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded them. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." And so the Great Commission, we call this, and Jesus says all power. Now, the word power there in the Greek language is exousia. Exousia, it means the right to rule. In other words, exousia is it gives you the rightful place to exercise that power. Now, Jesus says all power, All authority would be the right word, the right English word. All authority in heaven and in earth has been given to Jesus. And he said, go you therefore. Therefore, because of that, because all power, now he's commissioning us. You go therefore, because of that power given to me. Now he empowers us to go and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them, immersing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything Jesus taught us. Amen. And so this is the Great Commission. Now, the second part to that found in Acts chapter 1. I'll ask you to turn there. Acts chapter 1. Jesus told his disciples before he went up in the book of Luke chapter 24. He said, wait for the promise of the Father. He said, tarry in Jerusalem till you receive power from on high. We're going to pick it up right there in verse 4. It says in chapter 1, verse 4, he said, and being assembled together with them. Now, Jesus had risen from the dead. And it says he appeared to disciples on earth 40 days by many an infallible proof. So after the resurrection, he had many appearances to his disciples. And there were many, what the Bible calls, infallible proofs of his resurrection. And it says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, excuse me, but wait for the promise of the Father, which says he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. And so he's showing even there a progressive order that there would be the necessity was laid on us to a continuum, if you would, in baptism, that we're being immersed deeper and deeper into God all throughout our Christian walk. I don't think we ever stop. If we're growing in Christ, I believe we're continually being immersed into God in some way, shape, form, or fashion. We're going deeper into him if we're growing in our faith. Now, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power. Here's our verse. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, again, here's the word power, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And that power here is dunamis, where we get the English word dynamite from. It's literally an explosive, strong power. And so we have exousia, a right to rule, and then dunamis, the ability to get that job done. So God, through Christ, empowered his disciples, which is us. He has empowered us that our witness wouldn't just be trying to talk people into stuff, but it would be a powerful witness of the demonstration of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And see, today, I believe our faith is basically about the wisdom of men. And we want men to expound and teach and endless sermons. We need the demonstration of the Spirit. Now, this is not a magic act. This is not some performance. It's just the matter of fact, putting the work of the Spirit putting the power of the Spirit to work in our witness. And it's not just trying to talk people into stuff. If we're going to see revival and harvest, it will be because we're going to employ these gifts in the proper manner as Jesus told us to. Now, this is a very important thing. I believe that too often there's some mighty faithful people out there who want to try to witness. But folks, we need to witness in the power of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed with the devil, for God was with him. And God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed with the devil. We need to see the power of God in our witness. As a matter of fact, in twofold idea, that number one, in our witness, We need the power of God in effect when we're sharing Jesus with other people and in our worship. When we're with the believers, it is so powerful in edification as we prophesy, as we encourage one another with words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gifts of the Spirit, laying on of hands, healings. All these things are, we need the power of God to keep the saints built up and to stay faithful and help us through all of our issues. Man, the Holy Ghost gives us power, and we need to remember that. The kingdom of God is not just in eating or drinking or words, but it's in power. It's not just about talking it up. Yes, preaching is powerful, but the power, Paul said, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross would be made of no effect. The cross is the power of God to salvation. And just preaching the cross would be laden with Holy Ghost power. The Holy Ghost wants to testify of Jesus. As a matter of fact, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so when we begin, he said, and the Holy Ghost, when he has come, he will testify me. That's what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. And you also, talking of us, will bear witness for me. And so in our communion with the Holy Spirit, we should be bursting with the thought of sharing Jesus with others. And look, in our witness, sharing Jesus, not just by telling them, we can start with testimony and all that, but man, it is so powerful to prophesy to those folks in the grocery store, on the street, wherever you meet folks, randomly begin to prophesy to people. It is an amazing thing, the power of the prophetic when you go out and about and you say, I believe the Lord has a word for you. Hardly nobody will turn you down. And you begin to prophesy. And I don't go just randomly making junk up. When I feel the unction of the Spirit, boy, I can't wait. And you say, well, how do you know? I don't know. All I know is that he says, when you open your mouth, I'll fill it. So when unction comes, I start speaking and the Spirit of God gets on that. And yeah, it's good. Hallelujah. So let's get to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We need the Holy Ghost in our witness and in our worship. We need the power of God in our witness and in our worship. So let's drive that home. I know there's some of you who are zealous for witnessing. Folks, we need to function in the gifts of the Spirit while we're witnessing and see productivity begin to happen in our witness and bear fruit as it cuts through and the power of God cuts through some of the endless debate we have with people and see the manifestation of the Spirit. Listen, chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give to you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus cursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works all in all. Now I want to stop right there and let's put this in a context, and I want to make a few points right here. He starts out now concerning spirituals, and he wouldn't even deal with gifts, it's spirituals. And folks, we have to bring back all that we've been teaching about the person of the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When we begin to develop that relationship with the Holy Spirit, there will be a produce of the Spirit. And as we bear that fruit of the Spirit, it makes us a natural attraction that people would want what we have. We should walk full of what the Sermon on the Mount taught, full of what the fruit of the Spirit's all about. And it would make us a person of peace. We would be peaceful. We would be the peacemakers. We would be those who are humble. And we're the calming factor when you walk into a busy or dramatic situation. We're just calming the storm. I remember once there was these two guys. We literally found one of these guys in a dumpster. And he was asleep in the dumpster, literally. And we got him out, and I won't say his name. He had a nickname, and I won't even say it because I don't want to embarrass anybody, whatever. But he and his nephew lived together in a mobile home. And they both smoked like used car salesmen. I mean, they smoked like crazy. And so They would call me up at weird hours of the night, screaming and hollering at each other. Him and his nephew just couldn't get along. And they would call me and say, "Brother Terry, I'm about to kill this guy." So I'd go over, and it was just a turmoil. And he'd walk in, it was like a union meeting. There was so much smoke, it was horrible. And I hate cigarette smoke. I just hate it. But I walk in there, and as soon as I would walk in, the peace would come. It was amazing. And they would calm down, and they were all right. I didn't even have any demons to cast. As soon as I walk in, calm. I said, "Dude, I ain't moving in here. I'm not going to live here." You know, but it was amazing, the calming presence of the Spirit of God when you walk in. Tremendous. I walked in another room one time. I was called and said, there was a lady manifesting. And when I walked into the house, I told some people, I'd forgotten all about this story. I told some people, I said, it looked like they were riding a bull at Gillies. You know, you remember the old bucking bull, the mechanical bull? That girl had them, she was throwing them off. I said, "Y'all get off of her." And as soon as I said that, the whole room called out. I didn't even have nothing else to do. Peace came. Glory to God. Yeah. The power of God. The cross is the power. And when we have the Prince of Peace residing in us, we bring the peace with us. We bring the joy. We bring the grace. We bring the mercy. We bring the love. We bring it, folks. And the power of God literally touches, it changes the environment around us. Folks, we need to be those people. Blessed are those peacemakers, man. Come on. And so here we are, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me keep going with it. And so he says, "I want to speak to you as spiritual." When you have that Holy Spirit in you, you remember this, that God's in you. Oh, John G. Lake was reported to have said when he would get dressed in the morning, he would look at his suit and he'd look at himself in the mirror and he'd say, "The man who wears that suit is full of God. And wherever I go, God goes." Now, that's a good reminder to ourselves. We're full of God. And where we're going, your situation cannot be impossible, because I think it says nothing is impossible with Him. Amen? Come on, boy. All you need is faith in God. Now, concerning spirituals, and in the English renderings, it's spiritual gifts, I would not have you ignorant. And it's amazing when he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. It seems like when he says that, that means it's the things we're most ignorant of. Now, we have several classes of people we have to talk about. There are people who just do not believe in the power of God and miracles. They just don't believe it. There are other groups of people who believe that the power of God is not for today, that the gifts have ceased, because the last apostles died and the word of God is a completed book. We don't need it. It's a silly doctrine. It's just unfounded. There's nothing. It's all conjured. It's all made up. And we need the Holy Spirit until Jesus returns. My Bible said, I left it off here last week when we're talking about when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away with. Let me tell you, that which is perfect came 2,000 years ago, but we are soon waiting for the perfect to return. And when He returns, then we won't need the gifts anymore, because we will be perfected in Him. But as for now, we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And folks, I encourage you. I know I'm sarcastic a lot of time and I really drill down on these points, but hear me. I'm telling you, I appeal to you, if you've been a cessationist, revisit your thinking on this. It's just not right thinking. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't serve the Father, Son, and the Holy Bible. We serve the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. You hear me? So we need the Holy Spirit. And this is the kingdom come. The King Jesus moves into our heart when we repent and submit ourselves as Lord to His Lordship. And then the Holy Spirit seals that lordship in us. And that is the kingdom, the dominion of the King has come. And so we are the dominion of the King, and He fills us. We're the New Testament temples of God, and He fills us with God Himself. Boy, this is an amazing thing, folks. Get stirred in your faith. Concerning spirituals, I would not have you ignorant. I believe we're so ignorant to these things. And then we get pressurized. We get on the spot. I remember when I was new to the real workings of this kind of thing. Now, let me just say this. From the time of my early days of conversion, God was using me powerfully. I mean, it was amazing. He was using me in a revival type spirit, and people around me were getting saved. It was just a tremendous thing, and it's always stuck with me. Now, what I want you to see is that when I was getting around charismatic people for the first 4 years of my Christianity, well, first 8 years of my Christianity, I was with people who did not believe that the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of tongues was for today. Now, I had that gift, but I kept it on the down low to not be offensive. And it was really a suppressed thing, a really kind of grievous. And I've told you some testimonies about some of that. But folks, it was just a tremendous time. Now, once I got around other believers who flowed freely in the gifts, I'll be honest with you, I was a little intimidated. I was like, we're just going to prophesy? I didn't know how that, man, now it's such a flow. You got to understand, we're not conjuring stuff up. I promise you, when you begin to develop this relationship with the Holy Spirit, signs and wonders will follow. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. In my name, they will speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And if they can take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, they won't harm them. Folks, the signs of believers still go with us today. We need signs and wonders in our generation. Now, am I chasing them? Am I trying to conjure them? Am I trying to manufacture them or make them up? No. They come, they follow the Word of God. They follow the Word. Amen? Stay with this. So, he said, I would not have you ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. So please, just say, wait, maybe you just don't know. No, maybe you've only been taught by people who don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, who don't have the gifts of the Spirit. So you would be really at a deficit to start with. That, come on, it's not fair that somebody who doesn't believe this or doesn't understand it would even try to teach you on this. All they can do is shoot it down. Now, I would not have you ignorant. Please, if you don't know, open your heart up. Just visit this. Start looking objectively at the Word of God. Don't just buy into it because of me. Watch. He says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Now, again, he's taking a real shot at idolatry and the fact that idols have no power. But we are serving the living God who is filled with power. Amen. Our God is a powerful God. He is omnipotent. That means he has all power. Now, keep going. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus cursed. So the Holy Ghost would never, a Holy Ghost man would never curse Jesus. Never. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. I remember when I first read this. Actually, let me back up. I remember I saw a guy before I got saved. I was really under conviction, being drawn by the Spirit. And I heard a man say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And I didn't know nothing about the Bible, I promise you. And I was looking at him and said, I just could not say that out loud. I just couldn't say that because I didn't have the Spirit. And I was a sinful man, but I was honest about, I could not have said that at that point. I could not have confessed him as Lord. All right? Now, stay with me. Now, I don't want to go into this teaching too much, but again, it says test the spirits, whether they be of God. There's a lot of people can lie. Spirits. I can force a demon spirit to tell me whatever I want him to. All right. We're going to get the truth out of a demon. He's subjected. Now, stay with it. That's another story, another subject. Verse 4. Now, there are diverse. I want you to see this. You're going to see the whole Godhead involved in giving gifts to men. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. I'm not going to go into that just this second, just a minute. That's our teaching. That's our whole subject for tonight. Next, there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Now, who's Lord? Jesus. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, if you want to turn there with me for a second, I'm not going to expound on this tonight. I'm just going to point it out to you so you'll see it, that the entire Godhead takes a turn in giving gifts. Let me point out something I believe is to be so. I believe the earth, the recreation of the earth, 6,000 years, when what we saw in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, I believe we're looking at right there a 6,000-year-old earth, our world as we know it. Let's put it, the recreation of the earth. And so when we look at that 6,000 years, I believe for the first 2,000 years, God dealt directly with man through from the time of Adam all the way through Noah. For the next 2,000 years, from Abram all the way through the day of Pentecost, God dealt with man through Christ. All right. Once he was revealed, dead, buried, and resurrected, and ascended to his throne, the Holy Spirit was poured out, and now God deals with man directly through the Holy Spirit. So the triune nature of God, the God the Father, God in three persons, one God, three persons, or three expressions of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Now here's the Son. Let me deal with this in Ephesians chapter 4 just for a second. Let me get there. Quit running my mouth here for a second. In Ephesians 4, verse 7, he says, "But to every one of us, grace is given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." Now that he ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. "He that descended is the same that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he," Jesus, "gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." And so here are the giftedness that Jesus himself gives. It's the ministry gifts. So there's diversity of gifts, one Spirit. There is differences of ministry gifts, but one Lord. Now look at this next one. We go back to 1 Corinthians. Again, I'm not going to expound on those tonight. The next one, verse 6, "And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works all in all." Now, here we see God giving gifts himself. Now, if we would turn to the book of Romans 12, there's a whole list. I'm not going to exhaust it. I'm not going to go deep into it. I just want to point it out. In Romans 12, we know that it's a very familiar passage, but in verse 3, he says, "For I say unto the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. I want you to see that. The measure of faith. So when we see the grace given to me and God himself given to every man the measure of faith, God himself gives giftings. Now, I can't make my point tonight on this, but I'm going to point it out. I believe in two places that it's very powerful. Number one, in Romans 12, if we read all this, we could see it clearly. But if we dealt with Matthew chapter 5, and particularly in the Sermon on the Mount, I think verses 3 and 11, I wrote it down, maybe 14, somewhere around there. The Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the meek." And we could go on. There's 9 blessings in those Beatitudes. To me, as we become partakers of the divine nature, I believe this is what God visits us in the DNA of the new birth. Okay? I hope that is making sense. Try to bridge the gap. I don't have time to make this point. I really want to teach on the gifts of the Spirit. And so when we look at the idea of God himself giving us gifts, in particular in the new birth, the DNA of the new birth, as we become partakers of divine nature, that literally the Beatitudes begin to reside in us. Okay, I hope you can make sense of that teaching. Every man is given the measure of faith, and this is the gifting of God as it really manifests through the new birth. Now, stay with it. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians, and I'll start building this point. Okay, so we see the Godhead, each person of the Godhead involved in gifting us as human beings. Now, remember, when we get born again, okay, we get that character change where we begin to be partakers of divine nature. And then if we grow in that grace, I believe that every person could get the ministry gifts. I don't, not everybody does, but everyone, I believe you could pursue them when we could. You could become his disciple and become apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. I believe that could happen in you as you draw near to Christ. Why not? This is not for professionals. This doesn't mean you get this because you went to university or got a degree or became a doctor. It has nothing to do with this. This has everything to do with your relationship with Jesus himself. Okay? Now, so now we get to the Holy Spirit part. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all, or for the profit of all. Who do you give the Holy Ghost gifts to? Every man. Now, that's not gender specific. I believe it's to every person who is a believer in Christ. We have the gifts of the Spirit. We can have those gifts. As a matter of fact, I've seen the spirit of prophecy begin to happen and people who are not saved begin to prophesy. Seen it happen. And so it's a very powerful thing in the prophetic. I mean, if you think back in the Old Testament, Saul was as raggedy as could be, and he would begin to prophesy with the prophets. And I mean, it sounded like he was speaking in tongues or something. He was getting weird out there. But the fact is that Saul himself, and I mean, we know he wasn't right, and he still was prophesying away. And so they say, is Saul among the prophets? Folks, let me tell you, when the Holy Ghost starts moving, we can't dictate terms of what happens next. And it, you know, it blow your theology out the water. So if you just have to control everything, you may just go ahead and have your little control session and go on with that and call it salvation. But let me tell you, when the Holy Ghost, he does whatever he wants to. And that's what I love about the river of the Holy Ghost. He'll blow right through all your petitions. He'll blow right through. And we're from Louisiana, and we have many what we call oxbow reservoirs, we call them rivers still, like False River and Old River and these kind of. What happened? The river turned course. The bends in the river were so sharp that the river decided, I don't like making that turn. And after a while, it just blew through all resistance and made a new course in the river. And I believe this happens many times in churches, that they become so resistant to the Holy Spirit because their agenda is so precious, they can't control what the Holy Ghost wants to do next. And that's why we have dead denominations one after another. They used to have a little life in them, and so they just remember the old days and oh, it was great. Come on, we're alive now. I need the Holy Ghost now, not yesterday. Come on. So here we go. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every person to profit, for everyone to profit by. Now, if you go look in the Greek, that means everyone. That means every saved person. The Holy Spirit wants to visit you. He even says, stir up the gifts that are in you. He even says, covet earnestly the best gifts. We could go on. The Holy Spirit wants to give you gifts. The Apostle Paul said, I want to come to you so I can impart a gift to you. We need to know that this is not optional. We should push this. We should be zealous for this. We should want this. We need the power of God. Now, I don't want to fake nothing or make nothing up, but we need to press in for this. If you don't have it, get around people who do. Watch. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, the logos of Sophia. The logos, or the word of wisdom. Now, wisdom, I believe the correct definition for wisdom is the cross itself. Let me tell you, we can have all kinds of definitions, but let me tell you, the wisdom of the cross is the wisdom of God. It is literally, the wisdom of God is actually hidden in plain sight. That the cross is the power of God to salvation. Look, we could talk about healings and miracles and prophesying and casting out devils and speaking in tongues and interpretation. We could talk about all these gifts, but let me tell you, there's no greater gift than the new birth, where God takes a rank old sinner and converts that person to a new creature in Christ Jesus. It's the greatest miracle on the planet. So when people say, I said a prayer and that's it, I'm born again, and nothing changes, it's like, I just so refute that. I just don't believe one word of that. There's no way God moved into you and the power of God moved to you and nothing happened. No way. Now, you might have been in an exercise with the wisdom of men, and with how did Paul say it? He said, with my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit. You might have had enticing words of man's wisdom. You might have been moved on emotionally, but let me tell you something, folks. When the power of God hits you, everything shifts. Everything changes. Glory to God. The word of wisdom. Now, when we start thinking about how a word of wisdom would work, when the Pharisees came at Jesus and said, Lord, is it right that we should pay taxes? And he said, give me a penny. And they gave him a piece of money. He said, now whose picture's on this piece of money? They said, Caesar's. Well, give Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Give me what belongs to me. That's a word of wisdom. That's a word of the martyr Stephen. He had a mouth of wisdom that no man could resist. This is the Holy Ghost flow. It's not that he just had a bunch of smarts. He was full of the Holy Ghost, and you couldn't resist him. I remember before I was saved, a guy who was a Christian now used to be a dope dealer. And one of the guys said, this guy used to sell the best. And we were talking about marijuana. And I said, boy, if I was you, I'd be a wealthy man. And he looked at me and he said, I am a wealthy man. That's a word of wisdom. I felt like if I could found a hole to crawl in, I'd have went in there. Shut me down. Words of wisdom. We need preaching in the street that has the gifts of the Spirit in it. Glory to God. One is given the word by the Spirit, a word of wisdom, to another, a word of knowledge. Now, I love the word of knowledge when this is gnosis. This is literally having knowledge about something that you didn't learn. Basically, it was just given to you in the moment or given to you by God. And we think about Nathanael when he read John chapter 1, and he was coming to Jesus and said, look, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. He said, how do you know me? He said, oh, I saw you when Philip called you under the fig tree. Huh? You're the Son of God. He said, you're excited about that? He said, wait a minute, you're going to see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That's a word of wisdom. That the woman at the well had maybe the most profound one. He said, go call your husband. She said, she said, I have no husband. He said, you're right. You don't have a husband. You've had five husbands, and the one you got now, you just shack it. Whoops. Whoops. Sir, I perceive you're a prophet. That's what she said. Change the subject. And then she wants to talk about the fine principles of, well, you say Jerusalem's where we ought to worship. Our people worship on this. Then we want to talk about, you ever do that? You start witnessing to a lost person, then they say, where do you go to church? That's exactly what she did, you know. Classic old, let's change the subject. Well, I'm saved. Maybe not. So word of wisdom, word of knowledge. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, there is, for by grace you save through faith. I don't believe this is just a picture of saving faith. This is that supernatural faith. This is that power of God that just comes upon you. I believe it's like an ictic type expression where all of a sudden you just, I remember we were working on some buildings out in a field, and a building crashed down on one of the workers. I mean, I saw it. Look, when I turned, I saw it. The big old beam came down on him and just shoved him like an accordion, smashed him to the ground. I said, oh no. I ran over there and I mean, just shook. I knew this guy was hurt, and he was laying there. He's a stout boy. And I said, call an ambulance. And we didn't have cell phones back in those days. And somebody said, well, let's pray. I said, wait, come back here. Don't call no ambulance. And we got around that young man and we just began to pray. And I'm telling you, I said, I rebuke death in the name of Jesus Christ. Live. And I grabbed him and pulled him, and he got up and worked all day with us. Not one thing wrong with him. Got saved the next day. Glory be to God. That's pretty good. That's ictic. It just happens real. It comes on you instantly. It's like when you're, oh Lord, oh God. It's an expression. It's not a swear. It's not, you just, the first thing you think of, God. Jesus, help me. And that surge of faith comes on and the miraculous takes place. I don't believe it has nothing to do with adrenal. I think it has everything to do with the Holy Ghost. Come on. To another, the gifts of healing. Now, would you notice there, there's a plurality. And I believe that that healing can manifest in many types of ways and by many expressions. Of course, we know that Jesus would just say, according to your faith with some. Matter of fact, let me back up because I want to make this point about the gift of faith. The Bible says Jesus seeing their faith. You remember that they brought the man on the stretcher and he seeing their faith. Remember? And Paul, with the man at Lystra, he was crippled in his ankles. And Paul said he perceived that he had faith to be healed. Remember? And so there's something you see. You can see faith on someone. And if we can discern that, I believe this is that gift of faith. I believe the gift of faith works on two different places. It's not only working in the person who's believing for healing or the miracle worker, but the person who's believing for healing must be a believer. You know, I just think it has to go both ways. And we were praying before, and there's such a spirit of unbelief in our generation right now. Oppositions of science, human reasoning, just pure old hard-hearted unbelief. And we've just settled into a mold where everything's mental assent to God. Folks, we need faith in God. Yeah. So the gifts of healing in particular now, when we start dealing with healings, I look at several realms of this because I believe inner healing is an important thing. I think that those who have been broken in heart, that many times that it becomes a soulish, mental, emotional health issue and even a decision-making issue. I think some people get so broken and they can't make a right decision. They just continue. You ever meet somebody like that? They just cannot choose properly. They always make the dumbest decisions. And so when you think about the idea of the possibility that their innards are broken, their mind is traumatized or messed up, their emotions are traumatized. Jesus said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. And I believe that many times the soulish traumas of our life can manifest in physical, physiological difficulties and problems. I mean, literally, there are spiritual issues that can cause you to change, to get chemically imbalanced in your blood. Fear is one of them. I mean, it can cause a chemical imbalance. That's why people are so medicated now. And if we turn to God, if we turn to Christ, we believe the Word of God. Oh, somebody, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Glory to God. Keep going. Healing. So we see many types of healing. We see Jesus would just speak the word to some of them. Others, he'd lay hands on. One of them, he made mud. He spit in the dirt and made mud and rubbed it on his eyes. Not too many folks would stand for that in this generation, but hey, cool beans. Verse 10, to another, the working of miracles, miracle workers. Now, this is a work of the miraculous. Now, we have to start understanding that same miraculous is really the word for power again, but it's a different little change on the word. It's so dynamic in its power. It's like this great expression of power. And there are people who work at that the working of miracles. And we see the Apostle Peter walking by and his shadow would heal people. Or handkerchiefs given by Paul, we wear them on his body and give them to people and demons would come out of them. This is an amazing thing that but in particular, when we start seeing the workers of miracle, where things begin to change in the environment, when things begin to, we were on the side of a mountain in Green River, Wyoming with a tent. And I'd never been in Green River, Wyoming, and I'd never set a tent up on the side of a mountain. We don't have mountains here. We have mud holes. And so I put this tent up on the side of the mountain. Boy, it was so pretty. It looked so nice. And we were out there sharing Jesus with people. Well, come evening time or just before getting ready for the people to start coming. And this hurricane was on the side of the mountain and our tent poles were jumping. And all I could read is, you know, headline, preacher kills half the town of Green River with tent. You know, and I got afraid. I'm just going to tell you what happened there. And I just like began to call out on Jesus. I just began to cry out. I said, Lord God, make these winds. Wind stop. And that wind calmed down and the tent quit jumping and we had church. Glory be to God. Had a few people healed that night, if I recall correctly. Wonderful time. And so to another work of miracle, to another prophecy. Now, as I'm gonna kind of camp on this one a little bit. I love the spirit of prophecy. I want to tell you, I flow in that gift. I love to prophesy over people. It builds people up. We have another brother in our church. We have a couple of them that when we come together, it's one thing when I prophesy. It's one thing when when all three of us get together, it's amazing. The words that flow in everything's feeding off us. Was what you call in 1 Corinthians 14, it would be called oikodemeo, is the word edification, to build the house. When you have that kind of flow of the Holy Spirit, to me, this is the entire picture of what a church meeting should be. And remember, in the New Testament church, these church meetings were not anything like what you do right now today. As a matter of fact, there's 99% of all church services are non-biblical expressions that are pervertedly taken from the Roman Catholicism in the 3rd century under Constantine. Another subject. But the fact is, early church services were small gatherings in a house or in some smaller facility or under a tree. And the small gathering, when the prophets would begin to speak, two or three, and the others would begin to discern and judge that, the flow of what we call oikodemeo. Oikos means house, domeo, to build the house. And so when we build the house, it edifies every member. And this is, to me, the epitome of what a church meeting should be like. When every member begins to flow in the Spirit, then we have church, folks. Then we're having church. Okay. I won't have time to go through all that this evening, but I'm gonna go through these gifts. So when he says to another prophecy, and literally it means to foretell. This is not preaching. This is not. It's a whole different expression. It's called predictory. It's predictive, and it's not just predictive, but it's almost revelatory. It begins to reveal things to a person, and I mean, to me, that's what I see more of. Very little of what we do is predictive, but some of what I do when I teach scripturally, I start being predictive. But I want to tell you that when we deal with people, normally it's revelatory. It would just show them things of themselves. It manifests, and it really is in keeping with what a church meeting ought to look like. And so the flow of prophecy is a powerful thing, and so is the other. Now, look at this. The next one says, to another discerning of spirits. Discerning, now that, most people jump immediately, and I used to do this. I jumped immediately, and I defined that as recognizing the demonic. Well, you know, that's kind of easy, because they don't even hide demons no more. It's like, I heard one preacher say, he said, we quit casting demons out of people. We're casting people out of demons now. It's become so obvious. People are just literally possessed. I mean, it's pretty crazy. So, you know, recognizing a demon's not that great of a gift in this time. Now, recognizing a specific issue that might be demonic oppression or something, that can be pretty clean, powerful. But the bigger issue to me, I think, discerning the gifts or the discerning of the body of Christ, to literally recognize the giftedness in a person and begin to help build on that and draw it out of them and build them into their fullest potential. To me, that's the greatest thing. So the discerning of spirits and discerning of Holy Spirit, as well as much as discerning of the other team there. So discerning of spirits to another diverse kinds of tongues. Now, we spoke last week about the proof of the Spirit in speaking in tongues. And now there's two aspects. Certainly, known languages are one part of it, but unknown tongues are another part. And in particular, this would be a message in tongues would be an unknown tongue here, an unknown language, and it would be not naturally acquired. Let's put it that way. It wasn't naturally learned language. And so a person brings a message in tongues, which is different from praying in tongues. Now you've commanded the room, you've commanded the meeting, and you're bringing a message. You have literally taken over by a prophetic tongue. Now, when that happens, it must be interpreted or the person has to just stop. Now, when we talk about the next gift, the interpretation of tongues, it's not a translation. Okay, so we're not saying yabba dabba do. This yabba means, no, we're not translating it. What we're translating is the message itself. And so it's an interpretation of the message. And so someone may bring the message in tongue, and then someone would give a interpretation. Understand, that's different from a translation. It could mean the word translate, but this is an interpretation, and I think it's the proper word. And so if we broke this all down into three categories of giftings, three in each category, we would have, number one, we would have the revelatory gifts. And that would be where we would have words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Okay. Next, we'd have the power gifts, which would be faith, miracles, and healings. Okay. Then we'd have the gifts of utterance, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. And by the way, tongues plus interpretation equals prophecy. We would end up with the same thing. But sometimes if a believer's present, the amazing thing is a prophetic tongue comes and then a prophetic interpretation. The Bible even says that the secrets of their heart through prophecy is made manifest and they falling down and worship God and saying, God is in you of a truth. That's 1 Corinthians 14. And so this is the desired effect of the gifts in a worship service. So remember, we want the gifts of the Spirit flowing in our witness. We want the gifts of the Spirit flowing in our worship. So when we see these, but all these work that one and the self same Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will. Now the Holy Spirit can literally use you in any gift that he wants to at any time. Okay. Now some may have this pronounced or really overactive or very powerful usage of a certain gift of the Spirit that just resides on them. And that's cool. Matter of fact, we have a brother in our church that's powerful in prophecy. And man, I just like getting around him. I love to have him in a church meeting, like to be in the same meetings with him because I know something's finna happen. I just know it. Because he flows and then we flow and then everything's, and then everybody can't help it. It's like the faucets turn on. And everybody, the Holy Ghost is flowing. And so it's really cool. I tell you what, if you say, well, I don't know about all that, well, invite us over and let's just, I tell you what you do, just invite us over. Hang on, folk. Well, I don't believe that. Well, invite us over. We'll make a believer out of you. Hallelujah. I love to prophesy in unbelief. After a while, you're going to be believing. You'll be in faith. Glory to God. So all these work that one and the selfsame Spirit dividing to every man severally as he wills. And so the Holy Spirit will just begin to flow in anyone. And we've heard little children prophesy. We've heard grown-ups prophesy. We've heard people you'd never say a word prophesy. We've seen the gifts and the flow, and it can happen with anyone. Folks, I would not have you ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Folks, we have to wake up to this. The kingdom of God is not in words, but in power. Jesus, without any doubt, functioned in the power of the Holy Ghost while he was on the earth. Now he intends that we, his disciples, would function the same way. And that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me and you. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and I want to read a verse that I held off of a while ago about the power of God. Ephesians chapter 1, starting in the 15th verse. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And here's the prayer Paul prayed, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now, we have all kind of gifts of the Spirit. He's praying for the gifts of the Spirit right there. All right. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know. Okay. No. Now, this is bigger than knowledge. This is literally, this is the revealing of this, that you may know three things. What is the hope of His calling? And I would imagine right now, if I were to ask just about anybody out there, what is the hope of your calling? Now, we know that hope is always in a futuristic tense, that hope is indelibly tied. I mean, literally, it cannot be separated from the idea of the resurrection from the dead. All of the Christian hope is based in the resurrection of the dead to enter into eternal life in a physical body that we will live forever with our Lord. Glory be to God. And so the hope of our calling is that we are called to be saint. We're called to be holy and to walk separate from this earth so as not to be tied to this planet, that when it's time to go, we will go. All right. And so that's the first part of his prayer. And in the second part, he says, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Okay. Now there's the second part. Now I want you to know that we are joint heirs. You know what an heir is? That's the person who is going to get the inheritance. We are joint heirs with Jesus. We are not going to, Jesus ain't going to get something and we get something else. We are going to get what he gets. We will inherit with him everything of eternal glory. We will inherit it. So we are joint heirs with him. We need to know the riches of the inheritance, and we ought to understand, and it gives us the patience of hope that no suffering of this present time can be compared to the glory that will be revealed. Glory to God. Now, the third thing is what I wanted to get to. And to, what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Folks, wherever you are right now, you ought to say it, power. I want the power of God. I want the manifestation of the power of God in me. I want the power of his salvation manifesting in me. I want the whole Sermon on the Mount manifesting in me. I want the DNA of Jesus manifesting in me. I want the fruit of the Spirit manifesting in me. I want the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Come on. Say, I want the power of God. Yes. What is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead? He wants the same kind of power working in me and you that worked in Jesus when they crucified Him and raised Him back up from the dead. Come on. This is the kind of power we who were dead in trespass and sin, you has He quickened. You has He made alive. How? By the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Folks, it's time to believe God and say, God, manifest your power in me. I don't want to just know. I have to know. I have to understand. I have to literally show me God. I don't want to try to tempt God or put him in a box or say what he's got to do and can't do, but hold on to your faith. I remember reading the testimony of old Charles Finney. He said he went out into the woods and he said he had to settle this issue of his salvation. He said, God, I'm going to stay in these woods and I'm going to cry out to you until you manifest your salvation in me. And then it started getting dark and he got nervous. Didn't think it'd take this long. And he doubled down, said, I don't care if I got to live in this wooded lot. And he began to cry out to God. And the power of God came down on that man. And the rest is history. He changed his whole generation with the power of God. Folks, somebody needs to get along with God and cry out and say, this religion ain't enough for me no more. This just going to church ain't enough for me no more. I want, how much more the Holy Ghost will he give to those who ask him? Folks, we need somebody to get desperate and begin to ask and say, God, give us the power. Let's stop right there. Cry out to him, man. Begin to seek him. He'll meet you there. God bless you. Have a great week.
We are so thankful that you joined us for this teaching today.
It's our sincere prayer that many of you would be born again through hearing God's Word. If you were blessed by this podcast, we would love to hear from you. For more information on Oikos Ministries, visit us on our website, www.housechurchesusa.com.